This week, you're going to give your players something truly remarkable. A travel moment that's actually interesting. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of How to Be a Great GM. My name is Guy and you are here because you are an amazing GM yourself and you just want to add some little bits and pieces to your toolbox so that your game is mind-blowing. Yes, that's right. You seem to be loving this series so far, so we're going to continue doing it until you say next. I don't know. I'm in a good mood. What can I say? It's a new year and all those kinds of wonderful things. Are, you know, all that positivity, etc., etc. Wilderness, wilderness, wilderness. So your characters are traveling. They're going somewhere. Now, I've done a couple of videos on making travel interesting and adding in things, adding in descriptions and all those kinds of wonderful things. Those are still valid. But what if you want to create a map? You've got some time on your hands. You're not doing anything particularly overly much. And you go, you know what? I want to make a map. I want to make a map that gets my players to go, oh, all right, we've got to think about this now. What are we doing? That's what you want. But you don't want to have to, you don't want to have to force them to go there. You want them just to naturally get there. So when we are designing a map, when we are building a map for a wilderness encounter, and let me tell you, there is never, ever a problem with building a map for a wilderness encounter. You will always use that map sometime in the future, if not this week, sometime in the future, next week, the week after. Wilderness maps are always useful. So why not make sure that the map that you're building is actually going to be something that you do? Now, if you don't do maps, that's not a problem either. Theater of the mind requires as much mental construction as actually making a map. So with regards to our map, as we have seen with villages and with NPCs, when you add in a map, when you add in a locational event, you have to be aware of your pacing. This is one of the fundamentals of DMing, and if you cannot get your pacing right, your game will be a yawn fest or your players will burn out and leave. It's so critical, so absolutely critical. So with regards to pacing, if your map that you are adding in, if your location that you are adding in is going to slow the pace down and the pace is already slow, stop watching this video, okay? We don't want to slow the pacing down. We want our game to feel like there is a rhythm to it. There's a pace, there's a dance. You know, all those kind of wonderful things that one does when one is being eloquent and all those kinds of things. You want there to be a sense of pacing, whether it's to slow it down or whether it's to speed it up. That's entirely up to you. Now, and I have noticed in the comments, some of you said, oh, well, I did find that a village actually speeds things up. It can do if you are a master of the game. It really can do. As with villages, wildernesses can speed up the process because instead of making your travel just a boring, well, you journey from point A to point B. That's very fast. There's no doubt about that. The pace is set. That is a super fast pace. But is it actually enriching your world space? Is it making your players feel as if they are actually working for their rewards, working for their loot, working for their treasure? Or is it just lip service to get them to the next battle? If that's the case, if that's the type of game you're playing, just put them in arena. It'll be so much easier. And really, it will save even more time. The idea of adding in a wilderness is to create flavor, to create an enrichment, to make the world that the player characters are in feel real and also to feel like it belongs there, like this is just part of the actual adventure. A location, a wilderness location that you're going to add in, it could be an encounter with an NPC. It could be just a straight up skill challenge, right? I've done a whole bunch of short videos that you guys are going to see over the next couple of weeks. That's every Thursday they come out. All right, check out those shorts videos. I've done a whole bunch of shorts videos dealing with snow and ice and travel across these kind of places. There are some things that you can do in there. There's some wonderful traps that you can build, natural traps that your players can get through. It could be just a problem solving. They come across a broken cart and they have to try and fix the cart. Things along those lines. It could also be a combat. Combat slows things down. It might not feel like it, but it does. It slows down the pace of your game. Your players, they hit a combat, that's like hitting a giant sandbag where things slow down because it might take you an hour to work through the combat, but they haven't actually progressed in terms of narrative, right? So they've just had a combat. It's fun. Don't get me wrong, it can be fun. But if the pacing is slowing down, then you need to be aware of where the pacing is slowing down and how to avoid it, etc. So we need to construct a wilderness map or space in our heads that is going to provide us with the maximum opportunity to, on the fly, choose what kind of scenario we're going to be having. Is it problem solving? Is it puzzle? Is it trap? Is it NPC encounter? Is it joyous? Is it sad? Is it a combat? To do that, we need to look at our three Ps: pain, pressure, and problem. And we need to decide, are we going to add in all of them? Are we going to add in none of them? Well, the actual answer is that we need to be able to give ourselves the ability to use any of those three at any point in time, not be restricted to one or the other. Why? Well, because previous encounters, whatever else is happening in your game, may already have had high pain issues. You know, the creatures are dealing lots of damage, they're being very dangerous, that kind of thing. So you don't want to repeat that in a wilderness encounter if you are making a random wilderness encounter to drop into your game. It could also be that they have faced a problem recently. The entire environment was flooding, so you don't want to have to go through that again. Or it could be that the entire place is about to be flooded, so they've got to get out, so there's some pressure on them. You've got to make sure that you are flexible so that A, it's not railroading, B, you are as surprised as the players are because you're going, right, well, this is what I need to keep my game moving forward, to keep my game interesting, to keep my game engaging. And so now I have the luxury of doing that. So I have made a map which I have used in two different games to two very different effects. And I've got it here. This is the map that I have made. I made this using a piece of software called Dungeon Fog. And Dungeon Fog allowed me to create this multi-layered road. It's literally just a little road that runs through a valley. So if I zoom in here, you'll see this little cart track winds between two hills. The road runs through that, runs past an ancient forgotten statue. What is that statue? We don't know what that statue is about. What's going on there? Don't know, don't care, not our problem. Is there more to it? Only if I need there to be more to it. Then we've got this 10-15 foot wide river. Why 10 to 15 feet? Well, within most role-playing games, that's the maximum distance that heroes can jump. That's a huge distance, right? It's an absolutely mega distance to jump, especially if you're carrying stuff. How many TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, how many videos have you watched of people trying to jump over a 3 foot wide stream and falling in it whilst they're wearing sneakers, sweatpants, and practically nothing else? Even trying to jump across a little stream wearing hiking boots and hiking gear, it's difficult. A 15 foot stream in plate mail? I'm sorry, that's just not gonna happen. So the stream is already either a problem or a pressure for us, because that stream, to cross it, is going to have to either, they're going to have to slow down, they're going to have to figure out how to cross it, or that stream is only 1 foot deep and they can walk across it with impunity. There's no pressure, there's no thing, there's no problem whatsoever. They can move through. I only need to decide at the moment that I have launched this wilderness space. So the stream is there to add in some interest. Then the road continues down and passes. It forks, as a matter of fact, because a forking road is always an interesting choice. Do you go left? Do you go right? It allows one of the characters who's got pathfinding or survival or whatever the skill is that you're using to go, okay, yes, well, most people have gone to the left, so we should probably go to the right. Or the right path seems to trail up into those distant mountains, which is the direction we're traveling in. Or actually, it's going to the left or to the right, etc., etc. You get the idea. So in this map, we've got lots of opportunities for ambushes on these hills that overlook the pathways, that fork over the river, that lean over the sides of this valley. We've got nice open spaces, relatively nice open spaces, for there to be anything. I could add in a gypsy camp into this open little field here next to the river, next to the road. It is a perfect campsite spot The river, if it's deep enough, means that monsters can't attack from the riverside. It means that monsters can't climb down those cliffs if I make those cliffs higher than what they are. They're currently 10 or 15 feet, I think, on the map. And so the player character's going to get attacked from one angle, from the roadside, which they can see down. As an example, you've got your characters, they've decided they're going to go in a certain direction, and you go, right, great, I've got a wilderness map here. I've got different heights, which allows me to do different things. If I set something on the lower plane and the players are on a higher plane, they have to get from the higher plane down to the lower plane. That's a problem that they have to solve. It could be easily solvable insofar as there's a set of stairs or they've got rope and they can climb down that rope. Do you know how many times I have created characters to play in DM's games where I've got the rope, the quarterstaff, the caltrops, all of the usual little things that older role players, and I say this with love and respect, that role players from 2nd edition and 3.5 Dungeons and Dragons used to keep with them, because there seemed to be more focus on utilizing everything in the character's space. So even if it's just a case of, well, do you have rope? Yes, fantastic. You secure the rope around one of the trees, you climb down the rope, you've used your rope. Just allowing the player the satisfaction of knowing that what they spent time choosing as a piece of equipment, they have now had the benefit of using. That in its own is a reward. And I know it sounds like a simple little reward, but it is a reward. It's really, really, really gratifying to go, ha ha ha, look at the rest of you. I have rope and you have to scrabble down here, or you could just use my rope. I mean, that's not the spirit of the game, and I hope you take that as just a joke. But the idea is you want to reward the players for being smart and for making the right decisions. So it could just be that. It could also be that the players arrive in this valley, because it is clearly a valley. I've designed it with a valley. There's hills all around the edges, different elevations. The players arrive on the lowest elevation. And I've decided that, you know what, they've been really lucky so far. They've triumphed in all of their combats super easily. They haven't really struggled with NPC interactions. So I don't need to give them either of those two in this wilderness encounter. What I need to do is I need to give them something that's going to challenge them. And perhaps that might be a major pressure, or maybe it's a major problem. So if I want it to be a pressure, it's super simple. As they are slowly crossing this little valley, the river suddenly starts to rise dramatically, a foot at a time. And they can see from the east-hand side or from the west-hand side of the map, there is this giant surge of meltwater somewhere in the mountains, way off in the distance that they haven't seen, or maybe they've crossed in the past, that would be better. There has been a terrific thunderstorm and it has caused a flood. And so this whole valley is going to flood. So the PCs either have to backtrack, they have to try and climb out of this valley, in which case suddenly the climbing skills are a lot more in demand. They have to try and bunker down, they have to try and race across the valley before the waves arrive. It gives them something different that they can't just beat to death with dice. That's often a problem, is when the dice are just in the players' favors all the time, it can become a little bit mundane. Yes, you hit the creature. Yes, you kill the creature. Yes, the creature dies. So we want to add in something. So this gives us that flexibility to do that on the fly. So we've gone from peaceful river that's only a foot deep to suddenly in a little tsunami that's washing down this river. There are so many different things that we can do. And finally, of course, if we do want an encounter, maybe we want an encounter that's slightly different. And one of the ideas that I had, I think it was last year when I was walking through a wood, I came across a little stream. This is why exploring your own world is really useful. And I came up with the idea that the stream is ticklish. So what if this stream, as they get to it, what if this stream is not ticklish? What if this stream is aggressive? And it turns into a giant aquatic snake elemental thing and tries to eat anybody on the bridge, and the head that's in the middle of the valley, the stone head, remnant of a statue, is the last hero who tried to defeat the snake, a giant who was then petrified and turned to stone. I didn't have that idea when I was making the map. I was dropping down things to empower myself so that when it comes time to running my game, the map is doing the work for me. That's the whole point, is everything that you do should be building for yourself. It should be empowering you. It shouldn't be restricting you, going, oh, well, I've made this map, but I had such a specific idea when I was doing it that I can't change it now. Don't think like that. Enough for this week. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you like what we're doing here, let us know in the comments down below. Please, please really do that. And of course, as I said, the map was made in Dungeon Fog, which allows me to change things super easily. I can get rid of the fog, I can get rid of the river, I can change the course of the river, however I want to do it. I wish you and yours and all of my amazing patrons, big hearts to all of you. I don't know if it's cool to do that anymore or not, but you know what? I love all of you. Even if you're just watching the show, brilliant. Hope you've had a good transitionary period and a fantastic year of role-playing going forward. Until next time, happy gaming! Damn it!